As I mentioned to you earlier, we are beginning a new series today based on the Gray DeVega's book, Embracing the Uncertain. And today we tackle one of those very difficult concepts, that of doubt. Now, we talk about faith and we talk about doubt all the time. It's part of our language in the church. But the question is, how do you have faith when doubt is eating away at you? It's one thing to discuss these things, to talk about faith and doubt, but when you're in the middle of it, it's very different. It affects you differently. Last Saturday, Reuters News Service carried the story of a 38-year-old Ukrainian father. This father had brought his young children, a son and a daughter, to the Ukrainian-Hungarian border. Turns out his wife was in Italy. She had been there for a different reason, but the father and his children were in Ukraine when the Russian onslaught began. The dad was simply trying to get out with his children and reunite with his wife. Of course, there was an emergency law that had been put in effect in Ukraine that said men 18 to 60 could not leave but had to stay and fight. So this dad with his children was stopped at the Ukrainian border. The guard said he could not cross over. And he was desperate, absolutely desperate to get his children to their mother to safety. And that's when he saw this woman, a stranger. He asked her to take his kids across the border. Somehow that father overcame his fear, overcame his doubt, and he asked that woman to take his children into Hungary, there to wait for a call from his wife. But can you imagine? Can you imagine the struggle that that dad faced, the challenge of putting his young children into the hands of a stranger? He had to have faith that he was doing the right thing, but you know he had his doubts. As it turned out, the stranger, Natalia Avleva, could be trusted. That's her in the yellow there. She took the kids across and then waited with him in this flood of refugees in bitter cold weather, waiting for a phone call that they all prayed would eventually come. Reuters reported that the little boy was crying when the mobile phone rang. The caller was his mother, and you see him here hugging her son. Anna had finally arrived. You know, when we find ourselves in hard, even desperate situations, we want to have faith. But there's also the reality of doubt. And doubt can cause us to believe that there's something wrong with our faith. I've seen it over and over again. Doubt can cause us to believe that our faith is ineffective, that it's weak. It's an old story. It's not just a week ago on the Ukrainian-Hungarian border, but it's been around a long time. The Gospel of Mark reveals another story of a desperate father, one who struggled with faith and doubt. It's found in chapter 9, beginning in verse 14. I want to share Mark's account with you. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and some scribes were arguing with them. When the whole crowd saw him, they were immediately overcome with awe, and they ran forward to greet him. So Jesus asked them, "What are you arguing about?" Someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak, and whenever it seizes him, it dashes him to the ground, and he foams and grinds his teeth. He becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, but they could not do so." He answered them, "You faithless generation, how much longer must I be among you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him to me." They brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground, rolled about, foaming in the mouth. Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And the father said, "From childhood. It often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you're able to do anything, have pity on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out, "I believe. Help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, You spirit that keeps this boy from speaking and hearing, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. After crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. He was able to stand. When he had entered into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? He said to them, this kind can only come out through prayer. So let me set the context for you, because all of this is important. This story of a healing follows what we talked about last week, the transfiguration of Jesus. Jesus, as the story goes, had gone up to a high mountain with James and John and Peter. And there they saw Elijah and Moses, and they heard the voice of God saying, this is my son whom I love. Listen to him. Later, Jesus leads the disciples down the mountain, and as they come down, they find the other disciples and the religious leaders, as we read here, embroiled in an argument. The religious leaders, called scribes, are arguing with the disciples, and a crowd is gathered to watch the contention. So Jesus asks the obvious question, what are you arguing about? Turns out that a man whose son was ill had asked the disciples to heal his son. When you read this story, you begin to realize there's a lot about faith here, but there's also a lot in this story about doubt. See, the father had faith that the disciples would and could heal his son, but then he doubted, as he says, they could not. The religious leaders had faith in God, but not in the healing ability of the disciples. The father had faith in Jesus and Jesus' healing power, but the father couches his request to Jesus in doubt, saying, if you can do anything. But those details are important in this story, because the father captures the moment. He reveals the tensions of that situation, at the same time voicing the human condition. This is the very thing we all struggle with. And the father puts it well when he says, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I believe. That's where he starts. And that's exactly what faith asks of all of us. To give our heart, our mind, and soul to believing in what we have yet to fully experience. Hebrews 11:1 speaks of faith. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Folks, faith is a challenge, but it is to be our foundation. That is what we're hoping and not yet seeing. I think most of us have a hard time being in that place. It's not easy to be there. But in the midst of this ongoing argument, Jesus points out that faithlessness is not God's plan for our lives. He calls some there a faithless and unbelieving generation. Honestly, that stings. But don't confuse one who doubts with one who does not believe. Let me say it again, because this is not meant to be a subtle point. Don't confuse one who doubts with one who does not believe. You have to keep reading through this story. As the father, when confronted with the challenge of belief, declares that he does believe. He believes. The Gospel of Mark includes an easily overlooked detail. It's really important. When Jesus said everything is possible for the one who believes, the father does not miss a beat. His response was immediate, an exclamation, loud, bold, and confident. Mark captures that detail for us. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed. You have to look carefully, because in the original language in the Greek, the grammar used at this point is called the imperative mood. I know for most of you that won't matter, but it does matter. Plainly put, the father is emphatically affirming what Jesus asked of him, to have faith, to believe. You see, belief is not the issue for the father. I would say it's not for most of us. However, doubt is another problem. That's the problem for most of us, isn't it? As soon as the Father answers, "I do believe," he adds, "Help me overcome my unbelief." We call that doubt. I think most of us can identify with this father's doubt as eating away at the edges of his faith, of his belief. He has doubts, but importantly, he believes. You remember where I started? Some of us, if we have doubts, we think we have a weak and ineffective faith, which is why this story becomes so important. Now, contrast this with not believing at all. That's called faithlessness. When you don't believe in God at all, then it leads you away from God. But doubt is a reminder that we do believe, even if it is erratic and fragile. Jesus said, "Faith, even as small as a mustard seed, can do incredible things." It's not quantity. It's just touching the edge of that. We've got to look carefully at the flow of this story, because the Father, and I believe this is one of the reasons this story is there, the Father is being honest with Jesus, confessing his faith, and in the same sentence, confessing his struggle with belief. He's talking about his doubt. That, as it turns out, is more than enough for Jesus to heal his son. Now, at this point, the father no longer appears in the story, which leads to a question. Is this a story of healing or a story about faith and doubt? Why do you think Mark put that in there? I think it's both. Though I will tell you, growing up, going to Sunday school, Bible study, even in seminary, the focus tended to be on the healing. But that's only half the story. You've got to focus on the other half of this struggle between faith and doubt. I believe this story is very important for any of us who struggles with doubt. Because the self-deception of not believing in God, what we call faithlessness, means that a person is not open to the good and loving work of God. If you tell me you don't believe in God, I would say that's the metaphorical equivalent of me turning my back to you and saying that you don't exist because I can't see you. I am not the determinant of whether or not God exists. You are not. The world is not. But faithlessness is real, and all it does is turn its back on the good and loving work of God. Doubt, though, is different. And I make this distinction again and again this morning because that is so important. You know full well that doubt was in the mind of that Ukrainian father last weekend. And it was in the mind of that Jewish father 2,000 years ago. But in both cases, doubt did not preclude action. It was faith in the goodness of a stranger which delivered the children into the hands of their mother, and it was faith that evoked the healing words of Jesus. And we see in the words of the Jewish father, doubt and faith often and do coexist. "I believe. Help me in my unbelief." It is a confession of faith which helps us lean into the arms of Christ. But it is also the confession of doubt which removes our self-inflicted barrier to God's good work. Years ago, when I was much younger, we decided we were going to put in a garden, a big garden. Parsonage had an acre of land, and we decided we would clear a little bit of it and put in all kinds of vegetables. It'd be corn and beans and squash, just everything that you wanted. Now, I'm not an accomplished farmer. I knew enough about it and played at it enough, but there was a fellow there, Mel Boyer. Mel was a retired farmer from Pennsylvania. He was salt of the earth, and he knew everything about farming that one needed to know. So I got together with Mel, and I said, "You know, Mel, it's kind of rough ground here. It's hard." And he goes, "Yep, that's the hard pan." He said, "You really need to punch through that hard pan." So we got a tiller, and we ground up that hard pan, and there was this rich loam underneath, this fertile ground. You know, if I'd not punched through it, I don't think my plants would have done well. First of all, the roots would have been shallow and hard-pressed to reach down into the rich soil. But we had a great garden. Mel was telling me something about faith and doubt. Doubt is that hard pan that keeps us from going deep into God's love. Sometimes you just have to till the soil, and it's hard to do. It takes work and effort. But when you do, you are planted deep in God's love. And what an amazing place that is. I pray that you will do that hard work. Be honest about your doubt and push through, that you can experience the grace and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this week as you go in peace and go in love. Amen.